Before I read some scripture, I'm going to take a sip of water because I'm really dry. I guess that's coffee, but that's better. I'd like to start with our scripture references. We're going to use two today. One, the verse one, is actually the scripture that's on your bookmark. And I'll explain a little bit to you in a minute, and Reed will be expounding on it more over the next 2 weeks. Just so you know, the way the stewardship campaign works is I am opening it up to talk about stewardship itself. Next week, Reed will preach, and also Kevin Germain will talk a little bit about church finances. And then on November 14th, we will have what we call Consecration Sunday, or Stewardship Consecration, or Stewardship Sunday, where we, as a church, think about what our commitments are, what we're willing to do, and just ponder those things. So we get 3 weeks to do that. So I'd like to start with our first scripture, which comes from 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body, and I make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. Our second scripture reading happens to be my favorite. It comes from 2 Timothy 4:6 through 8. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. As you guys all know, before I give sermons, I always like to tell a story or a joke or something because it relaxes me. So this one's completely true story. A week or so ago, I got a letter from the Veterans Administration. And in that letter, it said, Steve, if you don't get the COVID booster, we're going to not give you any more of your VA pharmacy benefits. Well, one of my VA pharmacy benefits is for a drug called testosterone. And if I get it at Rite Aid or wherever, it's a $1,500 copay for 1 month. If I get it through the VA, it's 11 bucks. So guess where I go? So anyway, so I do my thing, and I talk to my doctor, because I also have a family doctor, and I say, well, he said, well, you know, Steve, you better get the flu. If you're going in, you might as well get the flu. You know, and we got two flus out there, so you probably should consider getting them both. And you know, you're due for the, what do they call it, the TDAC, the tetanus, diphtheria, and whooping cough. You're going to have to get that. That's fine. You ought to probably really consider getting a pneumonia vaccine. And, don't forget shingles. So I get to the pharmacy, and I've got this paper, and all these things are checked out, and the lady comes out, and she gets my piece of paper, and she goes, are you sure you want to do this? And I said, well, I'm here, right? So she comes out, and she's carrying this tray, and it is filled with syringes, just filled. 8 vaccines and 5 shots. I took them, no big deal. They said, you got a driver? Nah. Do you live far away? Yeah, I live close. So you know you're probably not going to be feeling very well this evening. Probably not going to feel very well tomorrow either. Well, that was Thursday, and Thursday night about 8 o'clock, this is no joke, this is how I was walking through my house. You know, and always to the right. It was just always leaning to the right. And but my arms weren't really sore. I didn't feel horrible. I just had no, I was just fairly out of it. So I went to sleep, and I don't sleep much, but Friday morning I did not want to get up at all. But I had to be here, so I came in, and there were a few people around the church noticing I wasn't moving very well, so by noon I got out of here. And then I'm just now starting to feel more you know, myself. That's why if I seem a little sluggish and slow moving, it's because I'm sluggish and slow moving. So there's a moral to my story, which is don't get 8 vaccines at once. There. Yeah, it doesn't prove anything, except that I'm stupid. All right, so now that I'm off that, I'm going to go back to our scripture. In our first scripture, 1 Corinthians 9:24, I love what it means. Paul launches into a metaphor in this verse, and his theme is about willingness to set aside his personal rights and freedoms for the good of others. Paul's new metaphors at that time started comparing living service in Christ to athletic competition. He likely had in mind the Olympic Games. They were popular, they were going on, as well as the Isthmian Games, which took place every year in Corinth. Foot races were common. I mean, they were everywhere. Every town would have foot races, seeing who the best runner was. And it was a highly competitive society. In that context, Paul's readers would agree that in any race, only one runner wins. So why participate if you're not going to try to win? Paul urges them to do what it takes to win. His point is not that only one Christian can succeed, spiritually speaking, or that we're in a contest against each other. Paul is referring only to the effort and dedication exhibited by the athletes. That is, each athlete is trying to do their personal best, right? Yeah, in the competition, they're trying to beat the other guy, but when it comes right down to it, what do you always hear an athlete say? My personal best. My personal best. Now, in 2 Timothy, Paul says, I have kept the faith. Well, according to my Greek dictionary, what that really means is he was saying he's observed the rules, he has honored his oath and pledge, and it makes me ponder my own oath and pledge, which is how I came about this scripture for stewardship. My pledge to be a good steward of God's kingdom on earth. My pledge to be his feet and hands. I got to be honest with you all, I feel like since COVID hit, things aren't the same. It feels like something in the marathon is off. But how could it not be? It's affected each and every one of us in profound and, unfortunately for most of us, permanent ways. I feel like I'm thrown off my race. You know, I've been studying for this moment of stewardship for 14 years. Because in those 14 years, I was blessed to be your stewardship chair for 11 of them. And I learned so much. I learned what to give. I learned why to give. I learned how to give. But you know what? Nowhere in my study, nowhere in the Bible, nowhere anywhere did I learn about what a pandemic could do to stewardship. Finding ourselves asking for more from those who've already given so much. So I decided to simply just talk about stewardship itself and pray that the words God put in my heart today would somehow inspire you to contemplate your own stewardship during the next 3 weeks as we lead up to Sunday on November 14th. It's impossible for me to talk about stewardship without talking about COVID. There's not a group or person or entity, including this church, that hasn't been affected. Across the nation, attendance is down. Volunteerism is down. Giving is slightly down. But I guess it's all relative. I believe that for most folks, as we live our lives and things are affecting us, we don't really see it. But the people around it see us affecting us. They see it. I've been asked often lately, are you okay? Are you all right? Which I'm better now. And I know that we're not supposed to be prideful about things. But I'm going to tell you what, everybody. I am proud of what Arise Church has accomplished over 25 years. We just celebrated our 25th anniversary and burned a mortgage, and congratulations is due to all. I look at everything we've accomplished through the years. The dog park, special events, missions, the pantry, barn sales, dog fest. I mean, we could just go on and on and on. And it has taken stewards to do this building, stewards to maintain this property, stewards to help all our ministries. It's your and our stewardship. I feel as though I've lost some of my personal focus on my own stewardship. And I found myself, as I was writing this, having to relearn things like The fact that Christian stewardship refers to the responsibility that we Christians have in maintaining and using wisely the gift that God has bestowed. God wishes all of us humans to be collaborators in his works of creation, redemption, and sanctification. This means simply our time, our talents, our treasures, our feet, and our hands. So let me say again, congratulations on paying off the mortgage and happy 25th anniversary. We've been wonderful stewards. I always like this phrase because I think of it. We are truly the salt of the earth in a city on a hill. I really do look at Arise like a bright beacon. God calls us to be good stewards of all we are given. Creation, relationships, our bodies, our talents, our money, and other material gifts of all sorts. So what is the actual meaning of stewardship? The New Testament word for stewardship is, I'm going to get this right, you ready? Oikonomia, from which we derive the word economy. The word means management of a household, and it refers to the responsibility that is entrusted to a manager. A steward acts as an administrator of the affairs and possessions of another. He is fully accountable to his master and may act justly, just as Joseph did when he became Potiphar's steward, or in unjustly as in Christ's parable of the steward who squandered his master's possessions. As Christians, we have been entrusted with a stewardship. The things we call our own are not ours. They're God's. We have no possessions. We don't own our time or even one beat in our chest. And we do not even own ourselves. The responsibility of stewardship is to God our master, and we are responsible to manage his affairs and possessions. Because we are servants, all that we have is his. According to Scripture, we're accountable to God for everything. Whether we have a little or a lot, our key responsibility as his stewards remains the same, faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4, 1-2 says, let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards, they be trustworthy. Trustworthy stewards. I can tell you that when I was asked to be your stewardship chair, and I looked at the old campaigns and sermons, God pressed hard on my heart that I should simply preach about what stewardship is and what it means to me. So all of that experience and knowledge, I'm having to relearn. Biblical stewardship means being a caretaker of God's kingdom. As Peter said in 1 Peter 4, 10-11, as each received a gift, employed in serving one another, as good managers of the grace of God in its various forms. If anyone speaks, let it be as if it were the very words of God. I thought my pages were messed up. You know how that goes. So now I'm going to share, like I always do, I want to share a little bit of scripture. Promise I'm not going to, you know, go off into right field like I usually do. But there's some really good ones. Genesis 2:15, very beginning of the Bible, right? Very beginning. Let's talk about stewardship. One sentence. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. That's stewardship. I'm not saying we did a good job, but it was stewardship. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-7. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I'm skipping through some of these. Matthew 6:19-21. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also is your heart. Romans 12:6-8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, do it in proportion of your faith. If service, serve. The one who teaches, teach. The one who exhorts, exhortate. The one who contributes, do it generously. The one who leads, do it with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Deuteronomy 16:17 says, every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. Now, I'm going to, no more scripture. I'm just going to finish this out. I got this from thoughts on the UMC website that I thought were really interesting and apropos to this. It says, one character in some of Jesus' parables is the steward, the servant charged by the master to care for the master's property. It is the master, not the steward, who owns the property, but the steward is responsible for it and is accountable to the master. So it is, said Jesus, between God and us. As God's stewards, we have three responsibilities. Receiving. We receive with joyful thanksgiving the many gifts that God showers upon us. Time, talent, treasures, our bodies, our friendships, natural resources, and all the beauty around us. Managing. We take good care of what we have received. We manage these resources wisely for our own good and for the good of others. Next is giving. Out of our gratitude in receiving so abundantly, we want to share with others. Let's look at those three kinds of gift we receive, manage, and share. Our time. We did nothing to earn the hours, the days, the weeks of our life. Not a thing. Time is a gift of God. How we choose to use it is a matter of stewardship. Some people lead lives of frenetic activity, always overextending themselves to the point of exhaustion, while others sit around in apathetic boredom. Some spend all of their hours serving the needs of others at the expense of their own. And what good does that do? While others live only for themselves. As Christian stewards, we try to manage time wisely and our gifts and our talents and in a balanced way. And we give our time gladly to family and friends, to strangers, to the community, to the church, and to ourselves. I would be ingenuous if I did not admit that my personal stewardship efforts have been less than stellar these last couple years. I've continued to volunteer. I offer up whatever gifts I have, and I have continued to give as I always do. But I've been feeling like I've been doing it more from a sense of responsibility and habit than as an act of worship and stewardship. COVID seems to have changed our gears in a lot of ways. My prayer through these words I've shared are my hope that each of us would consider what stewardship means to us and eventually be able to answer that question, are we there yet? So whether it's a little more time, a little more talent, a little more treasure, I would pray that during this stewardship time that you would take the opportunity to get reacquainted with stewardship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have placed us here to be your hands and feet on this earth, to give generously, to give gladly. But at the same time, Lord, we know that stewardship does not mean giving so much of our time, talent, and treasures that other parts of our life suffer. And this is why we take the time to contemplate what stewardship means to us and what you expect to us as your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.